Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's Show. And tonight we are going to be everywhere and everywhere and everywhere. You know, we've been for two and a half years, we have been under this illusion, conniving, manipulation, deception by the global leaders in regarding to this outbreak they called a pandemic. Now, I don't know what we're calling it today. Are we calling it Corona, COVID, Lambda, Baba Louie Screwy, SARS-CoV-19? The interesting thing about all of this, now this is really the interesting thing here. It was never isolated. And this is the one fact, for some reason, and I don't know why, that this has never stuck out in the general population. I got two reports that just picked up from New York and Trinidad, of all places, Trinidad, stating that this thing was never purified. In other words, there's been never any validation whatsoever that this thing ever even existed. Now, some of you are going to ask this question, well, what's going on then? Because people are dying. Yes, they are dying. This is true. People die every day. As I told that woman at the Canadian Tire store, today is a good day to die. We all die. We're all going to die one day. Some may not die because, you know, when Christ comes back, those who are left, they'll still be here. They'll be changed. The rest of us will be 6 feet under or wherever we're going to be. But this concept and this sensationalistic bunk has been propagated for over 2.5 years about a boogeyman that never existed. So what's killing everybody? Well, there's a lot of things killing people. Yeah, you have to understand something. Everything is epigenetic. In other words, we have external factors that can affect our genetic code or our DNA, and that in turn can alter our biological function in our immune system. So we've been eating genetically engineered foods for over 60 years, or 50 years. We've been eating genetically modified foods probably for 60 years. We have been eating irradiated foods for probably 40 years. We've been eating, we've been eating all kinds of junk for the last 5 decades at least. Not to mention, that we've also been exposed to a high level of chemtrail fallout, nuclear radiation fallout. You have to understand that every time they dropped a nuke to do a test, 50 years later, the fallout would start coming back to the Earth. So, is global warming really coming from the universe? Is it coming from us? Well, maybe indirectly it may be. Because the military-industrial complex is responsible for most of the damage that's been done to the planet. One of those damages has been nuclear explosions and nuclear testing, which has created fallout for over 50, 60 years. Is that killing them? It's contributing. Everything that I just mentioned contributes to the breaking down of people. Everything. We never heard of people dying from some of the diseases that we have today. And I shouldn't say diseases, the epigenetic assault that we have today. We didn't see these before 1950. Hell, we didn't see any of this prior to the Second World War. And today we are seeing things that we have never seen in the history of the last 100 years. People died. People have always died. People have died from malaria. People have died from the mumps. People have died from measles. People have died from colds. People have died from flus. We don't see that today. Not because of the injections. It's because our environment was cleaned up. Clean running water. Okay, cleaner foods, healthier, more densely nutritious foods. And for a while, we saw that there was a generation that was exposed to that. My parents and maybe my grandparents, who would have been exposed to that era of time. I knew people that lived to about 90, mid-80s to 90, and they were in good shape. Even when they died, they were in good shape. What killed them was just they just got old. They wore out. They got wore out because they had to their systems had to deal with the same crap that we're dealing with. But the difference was they didn't have in their foundation, way back when they were growing up, what they had in their foundation was solid, highly nutritionally dense. They had poisons in their food as well. They were using pesticides just like we are today. But the difference is they didn't have 99 million companies dumping shit in the ground, spraying everything with nanotechnology, spraying everything with nanofilaments, spraying everything with some sort of bioagent to destroy whatever's in the ecosystem. They didn't have genetically engineering of foods. They had one thing that they had to contend with. The air quality was better. The water was cleaner. You know, their food supply was far healthier. So the one thing that they were confronted with, their bodies were able to handle because they had the nutritional content to do so. We do not have that today. We haven't had that for at least 60 years. The whole organic thing is such bullshit. We haven't seen an organic anything. The only thing that's organic on a food product is the label saying organic. Majority of these organic products, by law or by government regulations, have to have some kind of spraying at the end of the harvesting, whether it's a glyphosate or some other component, or they're irradiated or the food's been damaged before you even get a chance to consume it. And that goes because of Codex Alimentarius. So we're forgetting all this stuff. They have declared that food is a medicine and that the food value should be reduced down to about 2%. Because if you ate the full value of what you were eating, you wouldn't get sick. You would be more resistant to catching any kind of health issue because the environment that these plants would grow in would have everything your body would need to build the peptides and the aminos and the proteins required to sustain a healthy immune system. But they took that away. Giving you a little history, it's nothing that you can't look up and validate. So today we are dealing with things that don't exist. We're dealing with things that are continually on the assault on us through an epigenetics. And on top of that, you have to remember, 80 years ago, people did not have towers beaming frequencies at them. 5G, 6G, 7G, 10G, 11G, whatever. They didn't have that. They didn't have smart meters in their home. They didn't have a grid that was poisoning them just by being around the grid. Okay. They weren't exposed to microwave radiation like from your microwave cooking or the microwave from the towers or the microwaves from your cell phones. They didn't have any of that. As a result, they were a lot healthier. They're better in the head. They didn't have all these dementia issues and Alzheimer's issues and Parkinson's. They didn't have that back then. So when we're looking at today, with all that's going on, someone says, well, I'm eating organic. And I'm looking at, and I look at them all the time. How is this organic? Please explain to me your definition of organic. I mentioned on the last show, a rock is not organic. Meats are not organic. Meats may be fed a natural food supply, but then even the word natural food is a con. Doesn't mean it's organic. It just means this is what grows. This is how things grow naturally. Doesn't mean it hasn't been sprayed. Doesn't mean it hasn't been treated. Doesn't mean it hasn't been contaminated. So, like I said, and they may have strict laws. You know, our laws are really strict. Yeah, bullshit. Laws are only there to make money. The more laws today are more like regulations, so that you have to pay the government. Whatever fee you want to pay, you have to pay in order to have a sign on your food designating that they are something that they aren't. Organic. Now, as I stated in the last show, if a grass is growing, a corn, piece of any kind of vegetation, any kind of carbon-based life form, and we're not that, anything that's like a tree, a grass, fruits, vegetables, that's organic. That's a carbon-based life form in the true sense. It's made of sugar. That's what carbon-based life forms are made of, sugar. Their primary source to them is a sugar. Whether you want to call it a fiber, whether you want to call it a starch, whether you want to call it a carbohydrate, that's all sugar. We're more a protein-based life form than anything else. Just about every biological function in our bodies require protein. Everything. As I stated the other day, if I give you a sugar, chances are it will make you sick. People eat sugar all the time to a tune of 3 pounds a year for Americans, and this is why they have diabetes and all kinds of colon issues and heart damage, because of the sugar. If you give somebody protein, they don't have those problems. In fact, they usually look pretty lean and defined or toned and pretty healthy and able to function even mentally. And I see a lot of these vegans eating all these grasses and these fruits and these beans and these seeds and all that. After a while, they're not too bright. Erratic, irrational, shows that they have a deficiency of certain elements that the brain needs, like iodine, copper, boron, zinc, B12, because B12, there is no plant source that can give you B12. And spirulina doesn't give you a B12 that you can absorb. So you're not getting any. And B12 is a very, very powerful B vitamin to regenerate the nerve endings and the cells, and for utilizing the proteins to convert them to the aminos, the correct ones. So we're not in those days. We're not in those days where we could get things, you know, clean. You know, like I said, you see it all the time. You know, all these people talking about this way of food supply. It doesn't matter what you eat anymore these days. It's pretty much all shot. But you have to pretty well eat, and you have to manipulate what you're eating so it doesn't cause you problem. Now, the current trend right now what's being talked about now is by producing something called a microbial protein. Because they're saying that it will save the environment from the cows in the case of deforestation. See, this is such a bullshit article. I couldn't believe what I'm reading here. Just at the very beginning, the contortion of the fact that they're deforesting the forest so that cows, and the cows are the cause of that. Cows don't need deforestation to have more land. They have enough they can graze on wherever they are. The reason why there's a deforestation is to feed the vegans and the vegetarians their soy and their corn. That's why there's deforestation. It's not cheaper to grow soy and corn than to raise a cow. And having a cow is far less toxic when you consider all the glyphosates, all the epigenetics they're spraying on the soy, corn, and the wheat today. It's contaminated, it's saturated, and it's causing health issues. And, you know, they told the Europeans years ago that if you gave them GMO corn or GMO wheat or GMO soy to the cattle, it would not have a negative impact on their environment. That was all bullshit. Once it passed through the goat, cow, or sheep and got, or the poultry and got into the land, that started, it was an indirect way of corrupting the flora of the soil way back in the day. The Europeans have been eating the same shit that we have been, just the only difference is they've done it differently. When the French are planting seeds in the ground and throughout Europe, and they're calling something that's genetically modified biologic, well, there you go. That's their way of saying it's organic. But what they're saying is more accurate. It is biologic. Okay? But that which gives it a wide berth, you can call it whatever you want at that point. Yeah, I've done this kind of show before, so some of you may have heard me say this. I'm bringing a point here. The thing about microbial protein to save the environment, from the deforestation because of meat is pure bullshit. The cow is probably the best recycling device ever made, if you want to call it a machine. It eats and it shits, and when it eats, whatever it does in process comes out the back end, and that reinvigorates the soil. You're getting the cow's bacteria, which is also breaking down whatever comes out of the cow, which converts it back to something biologically supportive of the environment. And yet they're trying to tell us that having cows is causing major deforestation. Total bullshit. The reason why the deforestation is going on, because Bayer Monsanto needs to make more money. And the more of this crap they grow, the quicker you die. Because these things have so much contamination that it's an inevitability that you're going to probably, if you start becoming a vegan today, probably within 6 months you'll look and feel like shit, especially eating this crap. This goes right across the board on every level. So when you, I even put a little thing there for microbial protein, and it's another form of genetically engineering a food. When you actually look up the definition of what a recombinant organism is, I'll read it to you. They use the term recombinant, and what it means, an organism, cell, or haplotype formed by genetic recombination. Recombinant adjective, referring to something that's formed by combining existing elements in a new combination, especially in the phrase recombinant DNA, referring to an organism created in the lab by adding DNA from another species. Match category cell organism. So there you go. This is another, it's a backdoor way of saying, oh, well, we'll save the environment. So you won't have to eat the cow anymore. You can eat this meat instead. This is another form of genetic engineering. Genetically modifying of an organism or organisms. This is what they're proposing. Imagine that. And they're doing it in such a way to make it eco-friendly, environmentally friendly. We're going to protect the ecology. Go back to the old hippie days. The ecology will be protected. Mother Earth, Daddy Earth, Sister Earth, the universe, oh, it's all going to be protected. We're going to be ecologically sound, environmentally friendly. you got to kind of wonder, what happened when the Europeans were in North America? It was just the natives running around, killing buffalo. They never had any problems with their water. They never had any problems with the air. They never had any problems with genetics. They're pretty healthy. They're a pretty healthy lot. They didn't live, a lot of them didn't live very long, but that was for other reasons, Point I'm trying to make here is this. This is another form of meddling with genetics again. This century is going to be the century of experimentation, and the lab rats are going to be the people on the planet to design genetically engineering of whatever they want to engineer, and we are going to be their guinea pigs. The only way around it is not to eat their food anymore or come up with ways to neutralize what you are eating, but now you're going to have to start considering how much of what you're eating is real. What if you went into the store one day and all you saw was this this synthetic meat, synthetic hot dog, synthetic steak, synthetic chicken, synthetic, you know what I mean? So all you saw was this crap. You know, realizing that they have genetically engineered this, what would be then inside of this recombinant that they're creating? What would be inside of that that could very well shorten your life even more? Something to think about. There's a reason why Silly Billy bought all the land in North America. It wasn't because the cows were causing damage. It was because he wants to sell this technology to the general population, just like they did these vaccines. They all of them need to be rounded up, thrown in a cage, and fed them their synthetic meat. We'll see what it does to them. We'll see how it impacts them. Elon Musk, Silly Billy's ex-wife, Soros, the French Prime Minister, the American President of the United States, Prime Minister of Canada, the Prime Minister of the UK. You know, these are the ones that are pushing all this shit or supporting it. You know, they need to be put in the jail and they need to eat this stuff. This genetic engineered bioweapon. When it's coming out of the lab today, you have to start to consider that what is coming out of a lab today is a bioweapon. It's going to affect your biology. So anytime you read stuff like this, you have to start to think in your mind, okay, this is coming out of a lab. What else did they have to do to this? I don't trust nothing that comes out of a lab direct. Sometimes you have no choice. But then you want to try to be able to test to see if what you're getting is what they said. And again, more into genetics here. The vice president of Pfizer just got arrested for fraud. You know, again, he had 1,223 people that died during their test. I don't know who's been saying that this is a dangerous technology and it's killing people, but whoever's been saying it for the last 2.5 years, you know, you're seeing this coming out now to the surface more and more and more. People are contacting me all the time, you know, they're telling me about this and that, and they're putting their trust in the Lord, and the Lord's going to save them and all this stuff. You know what? I don't knock that one way or another. God will save who he's going to save in this regard. But what a lot of Christians forget is that Job was afflicted. Timothy was afflicted. And he had problems with his digestive system. Paul was afflicted. His vision was going. He asked 3 times to be healed. The reason why I'm saying these things is not to discourage you or to defer you from your faith. And anything, it's to protect you from falling from your faith. Because we got these born-again bastards on television preaching this prosperity bullshit. And there's an aspect of prosperity that God does bless, but this isn't it. This is what they're preaching isn't it. And so they got you believing in pie in the sky. They got you believing this, you know, the same thing as the New Age bullshit. You know, the power of positive consciousness. And now you're so negative. You got to be positive. You got to be positive. There's a lot of truth to that as well. But the reality check is this. They still all may die. Then what happens then? Are you going to blame God for this? Or that God didn't hear you? Or God didn't do this, or God didn't do that. Remember this, if the situation does arise, it wasn't God that killed them, it was Pfizer. It wasn't God that killed them, it was Moderna. It wasn't God that killed them, it was AstraZeneca. It wasn't God that killed them, it was Johnson & Johnson. It wasn't God that killed him. It was the government, the governing bodies that exist today. The one that warped sped it all. Now the vice president here is showing that they already had 1,223 deaths during the test that they never revealed. And they're still trying to cover this shit up. See, I'm one of those guys that are very salt of the earth and very down earth as much as I can be. I have my own delusions that I have to break down as well. But the point I'm trying to say is isn't that God can't heal or won't heal. I'm not saying that either. My point is this. If they do die, and a lot of them have died already. More have died than you realize, most of you. Okay. This may rattle a lot of you. And one way it may be good. One way it may be good. I found a quote the other day, and I can't find it again. But the quotation went like this, that you, in order to gain knowledge, you have to go through pain. You have to go through adversity. It's when you go through the adversity, that's when you begin to know. That, and there's so much truth to that. The Bible says this too. You know, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of that concept of going through it. But in the end, when you do go through it, and you stick to it, and sometimes there is no escaping things either. Sometimes you have to endure it. That's when you begin to really know things. Not by hearsay, not because you read a book. You may have read a book and then you see that there's validation or invalidation. But that's how you get it. That's how you really learn it. You know, I didn't learn all the things I did because I had an easy life. Just the contrary. And, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why everyone keeps saying I'm so smart. It's not that I'm smart. I've been through a lot of pain. And I learned from it. You know, we've all had that. We've all had those moments in our life. And I'm not the only person that has suffered pain. I'm not even trying to go there. But everyone has suffered some kind of pain. And because of that pain, that's where you learn. That's when you actually got the information, that's when you got it. And when you ever ask God a question, why does this do this or how come? Usually God puts you through a ringer. At least that's what he did with me anyway, most of the time. Because he wants to make sure you get it. And it's never a lot of fun. In the beginning, oh, this is so cool. Oh shit. You know, that's what comes out after a while. You know, and then you realize that if you really want to know something, you got to really stipulate in there. God, there's got to be an easier way to go through to learn this. So, but sometimes it's the process that actually teaches you. This process that we're all going through now, those of us who have been awake and aware enough, not wanting to deal with, wanting to have this bullshit, have to suffer because everybody else has jumped on the bandwagon. I just said that today. I feel that I'm now having to endure the ordeal that the general population has decided to accept. And I'm thinking that I don't think that's fair at all, but that's just the way it is, and that's life. So here we are now, those of us who are awake and aware, because we've learned things in our life that pain that we went through in the past has caused us to become very aware and very intuitive to what has been gone on. So now the next level of endurance is seeing, and again, it's increasing, it's already increasing, people around us dying and having to deal with the after effect of death. That's what we're all going to be dealing with. And it's going to affect everybody. Everybody. We have to understand that the current system we have right now that allows the vice president of Pfizer to be able to come up with a fraud for 2.5 years, fraudulently covering up the fact that these injections were safe. These inoculations were safe. And they weren't. The same could be said about Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Look, Moderna, they're confirming that the hepatitis, there's a hepatitis connection directly to the Moderna injections. Where was the FDA in all of this? I always call them effing dumbasses because that's my opinion of them. But where were they in all of this? Where was this regulatory body that was supposed to protect Americans above all else? Where were they? Where were they? See, this goes to show you how credible the FDA is as well. See, all a drug needs to do to get on the market today is you pay them $10 million and the drug's on the market. And they'll let it fly, and then what happens is anybody who takes these drugs and starts to have a side effect, you can't sue the drug companies. But you can take the government, apparently, to a court. You can sue, I guess you can sue them for the drugs, the side effects. But the government, the United States government, pays off these fines or pays off these lawsuits. See, we're not. There's nothing that they have done that has any indication of protecting us in our health. They've always assaulted the health food industry, and of late they have gotten lighter on that. And the reason why that's the case is because the pharmaceutical industry has infiltrated and bought a majority of the suppliers of the health foods that you're buying today. So now they have more or less carte blanche. Unless there's a supplement that pops out of nowhere that actually works, then they will attack that product. See, 40 years ago, I remember hearing them assaulting vitamin C, vitamin A, selenium, you know, zinc. They were attacking these things all the time. They were trying to yank them off the market all the time. Especially vitamin C. They had such a hard-on for vitamin C. You have no idea how they hated that one. And we're not talking the bullshit that the companies today are propping. We're talking ascorbic acid. That's what we're talking. Because it worked. It still works. Okay? And you get all these, again, marketeers that are coming out, well, this is not a complete vitamin C because you got blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And again, now to buy this one bottle of this 3-ounce bottle, it's going to cost you $99 bazillion because you got the real vitamin C with all its frills and thrills. You know, give me your money. I'm your shill. That's how they're doing it. And for those of you who are caught up on that horseshit and they're so easy confused, there's an ascorbic acid link on my website. You can read it. And after you read the information and the validation of the use of that ascorbic acid treating and curing everything that they were using it for, then you got to question, what the hell are you hearing today? See, because back then, I'm telling you, they used to attack it like crazy. There must have been at least 30 or 40 products that I know of that they have yanked over a period of time. And when they brought them back, they reduced the strength of whatever that you're getting them at. I'm surprised, seriously, that enzymes are still on the market the way they are. But they screwed up the serrapeptase. The serrapeptase was the best I saw it work. The best way to make it work was taking 10 to 20 milligrams or 20,000 to 40,000 SU units or AU units, and it was either active units or serrapeptase units, and do those every 3 to 4 hours. The results I used to get with people on that without any side effect, nosebleeds, thinning of the blood or whatever, was great. It had great results. I even used it for back issues that worked really well. But today, they messed with that, and now they're putting it, you know, 100,000, 60 milligrams, which would be, 120,000 AU or SU units. That can cause nosebleeds if you take too much of that at that strength. So it has very limited use in how to use it. You know, sometimes little increments work better than one big shot. Sometimes. So here we go. We got the drug industry, the FDA regulatory in, of the drug industry, is allowing Pfizer and Moderna to come out with their bullshit, sell whatever to them. They get a cut. They have to get a cut. And so now they have released their bioweapon throughout the world. They warp sped it through America. They warp sped it through Canada. We're going to warp speed it. How many did we kill? Oh, about 50,000. That's not enough. Do it again. Kill those bastards. And then California, I think I mentioned this the other day, they're passing a legislation so that any doctor in California decides to open their mouth and talk about the fraud that's going on, it can now have their license revoked and be brought before an advisory board for removal. This is in California. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Have you figured it out yet that we are in a war? Have you figured it out yet that they're trying to kill us, all of us? Some quicker than others, but all of us. Have you realized that we're in a war for survival? They may want to wind up a specific species of mankind and keep the humans around. Never think of that. Just something I'm throwing out there. I did read something today and I thought it was really interesting because I've always even said on my YouTube channel that I prefer copper over silver. I think copper is a better biocide than silver. Well, they tested silver with copper with dealing with viruses, and guess what? Silver never touched any of it. But the copper took it out within an hour. Imagine that. Now, I posted on there three videos that we did on copper. The controversial formula, the copper chloride, and the copper aspirate. So, I think there was another one in there, but I couldn't find it. So I put them on here so you can go watch YouTube. The copper chloride is probably the simplest one to make. Very powerful. If you're kind of shy with that, then get some trisodium phosphate or sodium phosphate. It doesn't have to be trisodium phosphate. And combine that with chlorophyll and put it in a 2-quart jug. Show you how to do that. Copper, pound for pound, in my humblest opinion, is probably the best biocidal we ever had. They actually were using that prior to the polio vaccine to cure polio. Cure it. They took it out. Copper phosphate, copper acetate, copper ascorbate, copper chloride, copper sulfate. Pretty much took it out. Some are asking, why did they come up with the shot? Because you can't make any money on that form of remedy. Anybody at home that understands basic fundamental chemistry can make almost every one of those components of copper that I mentioned. Imagine that. So we're waking up we're all having a reality check these days and understanding the nature and the deception of what has gone on in our lives and how they have hooped us. Your kids are growing up today. You do the best you can to encourage them to expand their horizons and look at both sides of everything. Then they have a better chance of seeing the truth. See, it's one thing for mom and dad to say, don't do this, don't do that. And kids are curious. They want to know why. You know, why they can't do this, why they can't do that. You know, they want to know why. And in all honesty, you're never going to win that because you're dealing with peer pressure. But if you show them both sides of the coin and tell them to look at both sides of the coin, make up your mind, then you provoke them to think. You provoke them to understand. You provoked them to go after the information and learned to basically analyze data no matter what they read in the same way. Like I said, if you go do a little homework on copper, you know, what has copper cured? You know, and then you're going to get all these gurus saying, well, you got too much copper and blah-da-dee, blah-da-da, and you shouldn't do this. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. The copper poison did not come from taking copper supplements. The copper poison came from when they laid copper tubing into the homes. And people did not take adequate amount of zinc to neutralize or offset the copper that they were drinking in. See, there's a balance to everything. So those are the real reasons why we have some of the problems that we're having with some things in our systems. It's because of an epigenetic exposure. Okay, we got microplastic invading everything. California probes big oil over plastic pollution because they're just dumping. And then we talked about this earlier. This eventually is a xenoestrogen. And when that starts breaking down into the water chain, water supply, the ecosystem or the environment in the oceans where this is going to affect all the aquatics. Just like they affect the aquatics in a freshwater river or stream or lake. So what's going to wind up happening, those xenoestrogens will leach into the ocean and it's going to affect whatever is there. And in turn, that will eventually come back to bite us in the backside. The megalodon, everyone knows about the megalodon shark, 60-foot long shark, had teeth, was a ferocious killer. Who knows if by some fluke that these sharks have been in these environmentally unfriendly areas, got exposed and it altered their genetic code. That's why they got so big and so ferocious. Or what if the megalodon does really exist? I think it does. And it's just surfacing up every so often. So like I said, the environment, whether it's water, air, or land, needs to be managed better. Cleaning up the system is one thing. Disposing this stuff is another thing. You know, but to get caught up in some of this rhetoric today, it's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And again, I do believe a lot of this kind of rhetoric today when they try to sell you on the whole footprint thing and this and that. I think it's all about, again, collapsing your economics. You feed them your money, they shut down, and they use the system against you. So this is where, again, we're at today. Synthetic biology, electrogenetically system engineering. And bottom-up assembly with synthetic cells with a DNA cytoskeleton. I put this in here today because I always get calls from people telling me that they have more gallons. And I always tell them I don't deal with more gallons. I deal with nanobiotech infections. And because they're seeing things coming out, you know, and which is normal. You know, especially if you start expelling with the bucket or using some of the methods that I've suggested or some of the methods that Brian suggested, you will see things come out. It's an eventuality. That's the whole idea, to get this tech out of you. So, but in these articles, they show you how you can have what's called a bottom-up assembly. That's when I engaged in dealing with the nano, I went bottom-up. Brian went top-down. And the bottom-up, my idea was to take out the pillar so if, because it has such a head start, we could take out the foundation. Again, this is the method I went by, that we can disengage any direct connection from the top-down. When you're seeing this stuff, you're going to begin to understand why I say what I say all the time. This is nanobiotech infection, or synthetic biology infection, or artificial life infection. That's what we're dealing with. an operating system that can integrate with your biology, with your DNA, with your cells, with your tissues, using some form of XNA to even network the body. Even without that, it can still network the body. So the idea here was to get you all, everyone, to read this stuff, to give you an idea how the mechanisms of nanotechnology can work. All it takes is the particles, the operating system within those particles, and a frequency to activate the program. That's all it takes. And we start dealing with this in that regard as nanobiotech infection or synthetic biology infection, you know, or infection with artificial life. That's when you'll start making headway. But as long as you keep on dealing with the terminologies of the allopathic field or the medical field, you're never going to see the light of day here. Never. You are dealing with an unorthodox assault that was created in a lab, more than likely in China. It's now been sprayed all over the planet. It's in the food supply. They want to inject stuff into the food supply so you can get your injections that way. Again, poisoning the food supply. This is what they're planning. If they don't take the food out, they will leave what's there and poison it. You want to eat meat? Oh, we'll give you your meat. Okay, you want meat? We'll give you meat. You don't want the stuff that we're making? Fine, we'll give you meat, and that meat will get into some kind of lethal injection. You eat the meat and you get sick. That's where it's coming to. That's where it's coming to. So like I said, it's a matter of now observing the fact that we are in a war. Now, just to go to show you about war, I put it at the very top, when you get to the bottom, there was talk of a nuclear threat against Ireland. I think the article was a little old, but I wanted to redo it again. They can drop a missile in the ocean, a hypermissile of some kind, that can create a tsunami with its movement and its explosiveness to create a tsunami strong enough to wipe out UK. One big major wave. So you don't need nukes anymore to target a city. You just need the energy to affect the environment. We're in a war. These weapons are far more dangerous than the weapons of the past. They do far more devastation than the weapons of the past. On the top of that, I got in there, these drones that China built, these are swarm. China drone swarms, and they're letting them fly through a forest to show you that they can now maneuver autonomously without anybody controlling them. They can move around obstacles, underneath, above, to the side, left, or right. They have the capacity now to think, deep learning. There's about four or five different ones. But that one, like I said, it allows them to learn as they go. Now imagine you're off-grid and you're living there by yourself wherever you are. You live with a group of people, however you're doing it. And all of a sudden you see a swarm coming your way. How do you stop that? What do you do to raise something to stop that? Especially if there's more drones than you have guns or bullets. How do you stop that? How would you stop it? I'm going to get you to think, what would you do? They came down the neighborhood, they came down your street, they came down your alley, and they started swarming, and they're coming after you. What are you going to do? How would you stop that? Would you use a gun? You only got so many bullets. And are you a marksman where you can hit every target every time? Chances are no. So what are you going to do? How would you neutralize that assault? How would you neutralize that assault? trying to get you to think. Because one day that may become a reality. Yet they're developing this stuff so they can go into the trees and forests, and no matter where it goes, it will not entangle itself. Imagine if you got to run from one of these things. I'm not running. I'm too big, too heavy. I'm not running. I'm one of those guys that I have no choice but to fight. So that's where that goes. But, you know, where are you going to, how can you outrun it? Will you be able to outrun it? You know, all it would have to do is fly above the treetops and go right across and can meet you on the other side waiting for you. Will a bullet bring it down? Are you a really good shot? Can you shoot a moving target like that? See, these are things I'm throwing out there so that you start developing and preparing, you know, for these type of contingencies. Now, one of the simplest ways you can do something like that, take something like that out, is either produce a thunderbolt, which will go cracking through the sky, creating a major ionic field which can cause a short, create an EMP of a sort that could take them out, or encase an area in an ionic field where as they go through, they become incapacitated. So like I said, there are certain things you can do, you know, if you think about it. You know, save your bullets, right? Just come up with innovative ideas and understand something. As the frequencies intensify, the best shelter you could be in or the best shielding you could be in is either in a valley surrounded by a mountain peaks loaded with iron or copper, or you're in a some kind of cave dwelling where it too has a high level of iron and copper to act as a deflector. So again, I'm trying to get you to consider that we are in a war. Do you think like you're in a war? Do you actually think in terms of you're in a war? Do you actually think of how we can win this war? How can we do something to win this war? What can we do that's, you know, untraditional that we could sock it to them in a way? Sock it to them. I haven't heard that in a while. Sock it to them. Socketing it to them so that you neutralize them before they have a chance. Think about that. You're in a war. You have Ireland, like I was talking earlier. Ireland is they're like the victim of circumstances because they're attached to the rest of the UK. They take out England, they're going to go too. they're casualties of war. They're collateral damage. You know, something to think about. You know, you can be a target just because of proximity. We're going to fire a tsunami on the UK. Well, what about Ireland? Oh, well, I hope they can hold their breath for a couple of weeks. If not, get some really good scuba gear. You know, like I said, things ain't what they used to be. You know, things ain't what they used to be. And they're not going to get any, we're not going back to those days again. Not in our lifetime. So this is one of those situations where you have to grow. Continue to grow, become more aware, become more knowledgeable, and then become more active. Because, quite frankly, that's all you got. I said this once, 1,000 times. All we ever had on this planet was each other. That's it. That's all we ever had. Religion has divided us. Politics have divided us. Economics has divided us. You know, policies have divided us. Injections have divided us. Think about that. This has divided us. So my point on all this is this. You're better at working as a cooperative than to continue in this realm. Because as a cooperative, you can come up with ideas that I just mentioned to help you in situations that may or may not occur, but you'll be ready for it. Alrighty, I think I'm pretty close to there. Let's see where I'm at. Yeah, close enough. All right, I'm going to wind it down. I always say at the end of these shows, to go read the Gospels. I think it's important everybody does read the Gospels. And at least, like I said, you read every other book. Most of you think you know what Jesus is all about. You know, especially when a Christian does something wrong. First of all, is that what Christians are supposed to do? You know, if somebody ever asks me that question, I'm the first one to tell them, are you a Christian? And they say no, well, then you ain't got nothing to say. Since you don't know what it's like to be a Christian, how can you judge one since you aren't one? You know, I'm not one to accept a berating by the devil, having the devil talk through people to try to condemn me or make me feel in a condemnation way. You know, that ain't happening. You know, even Peter, Jesus said to Peter at one point in time, get behind me, Satan, because again, he rebuked him for what he was talking to Jesus. There's something to the idea of lower frequencies. Brian made a comment today about lower frequencies, and I thought about it. And I get it. I get an aspect and another, well, maybe it's the same thing. But when we are around certain situations, our first reaction is to respond accordingly. Why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You know, and that's why he said, you know, not the eye for an eye concept. I was actually hearing Elon Musk making a comment about that. The eye for an eye leaves both sides blind. So that's a very interesting response to that verse. You know, he was mentioned that Jesus was always about forgiveness and, you know, turning the other cheek. So when we're looking at, and he hopes Jesus does save him. And he said he made that. Now, whether or not this is just rhetoric, who knows, you know, for sure. But the concept he made there was really good. You know, because right away when we deal with things, and I'm notorious for this myself, I have a first reaction to react in regarding to what to counter, you know. And so when it comes to what's going on today, you know, with all this bullshit. But I also understand that for people, there is this aspect that you got to kind of give them some slack in regarding to, because they are programmed and they are dumb and they are damaged. You know, it'd be no different if somebody came to me that was born with a condition that left them challenged in some way. Then I would be way, way, way more tolerant with that person, you know, especially with their faults. But with some of them, you know, they're just the way they are, and you can only say so much. And if they don't want to make any changes, then you have to cut them loose or they'll bring you down. So like I said, the whole energy thing, the negative energy and the concept of what Jesus was saying, you know, forgive each other, turn the other cheek, you know, tolerate each other. I got a thing there I was reading about tolerating each other. Our weaknesses, we all have weaknesses, you know. If someone tells me they're a believer, is trying to strive with God, you know, I'm more apt to not be so judgmental. I look at my own faults. I got my own to worry about. I don't look at anybody else's. I don't judge anybody. I may judge an action, but I don't judge a fault. So this is why I say read the Gospels, because these kind of things, these kind of wisdom, pearls of wisdom, you know, is important that you have some of these things, that you have this. So read it. You know, that's all I can say. Read it. See what you get out of it. Read everything else, like I said. So read this. You know, like I said, I'm of the mindset of John 3:16, John 3:17. That's where I come from all the time. You know, that's why the invite's for everybody to at least read the Gospel, so you know what Jesus actually said, not just hearsay or innuendo. Now you know. You know, read the New Testament. Read the letters and how the church evolved. How they grew, how they had to mature, and the growth pains they had. Read Revelations. That's the playbook. That is the playbook. You know, everything we're seeing going on right now has pretty much been written there in one more fashion or another. You can make a connection. So, like I said, this is one reason why I encourage everybody to read it, because there is a lot there that if you look at it, you know. I get a couple of scripture verses every day. I look at them all the time. I look at them. I read them. Sometimes they talk to me. And sometimes I just read them, you know. Some things are there and some things are there. I mean, every day, whatever you're getting is designed to in some way enlighten and encourage you. I always say at the top of the page, there are people there that are doing stuff. Help them out any way you can. Help them out financially. You know, if you can't because you've been challenged by the system and you've lost everything, you know, regain your financial house, get it back. You know, if you want, you can contribute. But in the meantime, if you don't have anything like that and you are strapped, don't feel any bad on it. That's just you're a victim of insanity. Share the information. Share it with everybody. You never know who this is going to help. Alrighty. As I always say at the end of these shows, we are still here by the grace of God. Remember that. So to the next segment, to your health. Take care.